Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Andrew Sherman back on the show. Andrew is an attorney with the and a partner with the firm Jones Day, the galactic law firm there, called Jones Day. He's the author of so many books. We had to put another table in the studio here to handle all of them. The first book that I ever talked to him about was called Franchising and Licensing. It is the Bible on franchising and licensing, ladies and gentlemen. Still, his new book is called Road Rules: Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel. Good advice for all of us. Andrew Sherman, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. How have you been?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to upcoming Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And getting back to the, you know, to the business of business, as
you
they
mean,
say.
Get the summer over?
The excuse of, you know, oh, you don't want to do that during August.
Yeah, it's on vacation. They're on vacation.
About, as of today.
So. Right, exactly. Hey, one of the things that that I like to talk about is the difference between Wall Street and Main Street. And, you know, I've always said that that everything that happens anywhere else in the marketplace is a derivative of what happens on Main Street. But one of the things that happens on Main Street is companies grow and they expand and they, you know, 100 companies are started and two of them actually break out and go public or are acquired by a larger company or something like that. And when that happens, that's a natural progression, a natural occurrence in the marketplace, and it's a healthy occurrence in the marketplace, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is. And you know, what you're seeing right now in the M&A market...
Mergers and acquisitions
is this big sort of polar ice gap beginning to melt after about a year and a half of real slowness in the marketplace. And, you know, you're right, the relationship here between Wall Street and Main Street is that typically... there's kind of a mimicking relationship in the capital markets. If the public capital markets on Wall Street are strong, you'll see strong valuations on Main Street for the purchase and sale of businesses. If the stock market's weak and the capital markets are weak and there's not access to capital, you'll see valuations lower. Now, if you are the owner of a small but growing business, or a family business or closely held business, and you're able to wait it out, wait for valuations to snap back like some people have been doing with their homes, that's great. But if you run into an age issue, a retirement issue, a health issue, a dispute with a co-founder, you know, there's a lot of small companies across the country that couldn't wait for the market to rebound,
right,
and were forced to sell the business in some fashion over the last 18 months. And we'll talk, you know, over the course of our segment as to what that means and how do the multiples calculate. But, you know, the consequences have been pretty significant. The good news is if you're thinking about selling, valuations are creeping a little bit back up. The good news is if you're thinking about buying, the valuations are still pretty low.
Right,
so,
right. Well, yeah, it's been
a time in the marketplace right now for small and middle market companies.
One of the things that I've been talking about for the last 18 months or so is folks, you know, I know you're focusing on operating for survival, which is what I've been recommending people do, but I've said, you know, look around you because you've got competitors who may not be as healthy as you are, and this may be the time, the one time in your career to acquire a company like that, and if you do it the right way, that's a growth step that you can take and get a good deal rather than grow to that size, you know, one little step at a time in a very expensive way.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I hate to sound cold-hearted, but, you know, and this is one of those situations where somebody else's pain is your gain, And you know, it's not your fault that competitors got themselves into financial troubles or mismanagement, and there are chances to shore up a market or eliminate a competitor or add a product line or whatever your acquisition objectives may be by picking up competitors that you know, for typically for financial pressure reasons, but could be for other reasons, really do need to sell.
Well, you know,
some value from
it doesn't have to be adversarial, Andrew. I mean, you may approach somebody, and you may be like you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday rolled into one. They may be saying, you know, I don't want any more cheese. I just want out of the trap. And,
yeah,
and look,
it
and look
could
at
be
the,
that you're the white knight in some
exactly.
cases. You're certainly the white knight
exactly.
to employees and vendors
and customers.
And
exactly.
And
hold on to that thought. Folks, Andrew talked about evaluations a minute ago, and I know you can't. I know you picked up on that. When we come back, I'm going to get Andrew to give us a little tutorial on valuations. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame here, Chicago, bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. We appreciate it very much. I think you'll appreciate it, too, because it's free. No barrier to entry. If you want to go check it out, you can listen, you can read, you can ask questions, get answers. Check out my blog. Subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our Brain Trust members, like our good friend Andrew Sherman. He's one of about 1,500-plus members of our Brain Trust, the largest community of small business experts in the galaxy. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Andrew Sherman is the author of Road Rules, among other books. He's written something under 100 books that have sold about something under a billion copies across the universe. And he's an attorney with Jones Day, the law firm. Are you guys based out of D.C.?
Well, we're a global law firm. We have offices in 35 cities, mostly capital market cities. Are all capital market cities, and we don't really have a headquarters type.
We
were born in Cleveland, as we like to say,
yeah.
But we are truly one firm globally.
Well, didn't you joining the D.C. office, didn't that kind of make it the headquarters?
Yeah.
Isn't that what
right.
happened?
That would be right up there with selling just under a billion
yeah.
books. I've just been amazed at the culture of the firm and could not be happier there. It's a really great place. The people, the partners really treat each other as if we were clients. You know, it's
That's
amazing
great.
How quickly a partner will drop a matter he's working on to deal with something that, you know, a client need that you've identified. And it's a really collegial place.
That's great. Now, what's
a firm of that size? I mean,
the website is...
It's jonesday.com,
right.
And since we're talking M&A, I'm very, very pleased to share with your listeners that this is the 35th quarter in a row. I mean, that's an amazing statistic if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
35th quarter in a row that we've been the number one M&A firm in the globe.
That's pretty good.
Law firms.
Pretty
so,
handy. Hey, let's talk about, so bring that expertise to something we can use. Let's turn that news into something we can use.
Sure.
And let's talk about valuations. This is one of those concepts that everybody talks about, but most people don't know what it means. If I've got a business I want to sell, a lot of people want to know, okay, how much is my business worth? My banker wants to know how much my business is worth. She wants me to put that on my financial statement. So talk to us about valuations. What is that? How does that work?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of different ways to value a company. In the context of M&A, a lot of the, you know, present value analysis and discounted cash flow analysis and all the things that you probably learned in business school and that would put you to sleep, those are usually set aside. Not excluded, but they may not be as relevant to probably the most common of formulas is called EBITDA, and that's
right.
an acronym for earnings before interest, depreciation, taxes, and amortization. Let me say it one more time because it's a little confusing. It's EBITDA, and it's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And this formula is essentially measuring, you know, the company's historical earnings and then is multiplied by a market multiple. So in an average year and in a typical industry, you know, you might have in neither a buyer's or seller's market, you might have a multiple of 4 to 5. So if you are listening in today and you're running a $10 million business and you're able to squeeze $2 million worth of earnings out of that business each year, excluding the things that are in mm-hmm. the formula that I just explained,
mm-hmm.
You would multiply that by 4 or 5, and that would be your rough market valuation. Now, there are things that you can do as a business owner to increase your EBITDA multiple, and there are things you can do to dilute your EBITDA multiple, and we could talk about those.
So the purpose
the general parameter. Now, the real last quick point, because I know you probably got 100 questions, but in a robust market that's very seller oriented, you'll see EBITDA multiples higher than that,
10, you know, 15,
closer to 6 or 7 or 8, and up. And in a very weak marketplace, you could see multiples dropping as low as 1, 2, or 3.
So the EBITDA, what that basically does is it segregates the things that are really unique about that company's ability to create earnings. That which obviously depreciation and amortization, those are not unique to any particular company, and so it segregates the ability for that company to operate and to create earnings the way that company does.
That's well said, and again, this is very important. I don't want any of our listeners to think that it's just a matter of whatever the market multiple is and that you've got to manage yourself to earnings. There are very definite things you can do to make yourself more attractive and be at the upper end of the multiple multiplier, and there's mm-hmm. things that you can do to be destroying your company that's going to, you know, put you at a lower end.
Give us an example.
One example would be, for example, your customers. You're always talking, I mean, mm-hmm. Jim, I've heard you know, hundreds of times on this show and in seminars talk about how important your customers are, being close to your customer, having strong and loyal customer relationships. If in the due diligence on the company I see that they've been following Big Jim's advice and they've got strong, loyal, and durable customers, that's going to immediately, as a buyer,
mm-hmm.
Make me willing to pay more for that company.
Because the brand value in the marketplace, the penetration
exactly.
of
and
that brand in the marketplace.
The predictability of the revenue stream.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know those customers, as long as I don't screw it up as the buyer,
right.
are going to be around.
Exactly. Hold on to that thought, Andrew. Good information, folks. That's a great little tutorial there for you. We're going to do a little more of that right after these messages. And Andrew's got a new book coming out. We're going to mention that when we come back to 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. The book is called Road Rules. Be the truck, not the squirrel. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Andrew Sherman is our guest. Andrew is the author of Road Rules, Be the Truck, Not the Squirrel, his newest book. And, Andrew, you got a new book coming out soon, haven't you?
Well, two things. Check out the pop book we've been talking about, Mergers and Acquisitions. The second edition is out now. The third edition will be out sometime next year. I've been working on that, and that edition is actually due to the publisher today. So I had a late night last night. But the thing I wanted to mention to your listeners is so many of them have been supportive of the Road Rules book. Coming off the printer tomorrow is a special edition of the book that's been I've been working with MAD, the Mothers Against Drunk
right.
Driving, out of Dallas, Texas. And this will be a special edition. 40% of all proceeds will be going to MAD.
Good for you.
Got a foreword in there from the president of MAD, Laura Dean Mooney, who shares her personal story. And it really means a lot to me. With two teenagers,
absolutely.
I really support what MAD's doing, and I'm excited for the special edition of the book to come out.
Somebody, when my kids were teenagers and starting to drive, somebody, you know, I asked somebody, what do you do? You know, when you give them a car and the keys and you send them out into that cruel world, I said, what do you do? And they said, pray harder.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, every time your kid goes out, every time, you know, they're behind the wheel, I mean, you're just thinking about that critical stage.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not just, it's not just that trying to preach to them not to, to drink and get behind
right.
the wheel. It's also all their friends. I mean,
well, and the other, and the other dummies out there. But well, congratulations on you working with the folks at MAD. They do wonderful work, important work, and so I'm proud of you for that. And that's going to be on the bookshelves when?
That should be available for ordering exclusively through the BeTheTruck.com website, the website for the book.
BeTheTruck.com, okay.
Orders can start coming in later this week.
All right, sounds good. Andrew, I want to come back to this valuations thing. One of the things that I think is that small business owners can get their hands around real quickly is, folks, your operating statement has got things that you put in there that are particular to the way you operate your business. There may be a little fat in there. There may be something in particular that you like to do. Somebody who buys your business may not care about any of that. And they're going to do something called recasting your operating statement. They're going to recast your financial statements to make them look the way they would operate. They're going to clean it up. They're going to tighten it up and stick some other things in there that they want that you wouldn't want. And so they're going to recast your statement, and that's the way they're going to base the valuation of your business on. And that's just another way in a way, Andrew, of using the EBITDA calculations.
Yeah, that's correct. This is a very important point you're raising, and I know we're running short on time.
We've got a couple
of
minutes.
We'll pick this up again soon on my next appearance, but it's important to understand that many small business owners are, you know, often running the business not to maximize profit because they want to try and, you know, do their tax planning, and certainly it's not tax evasion, it's tax avoidance, which is perfectly legal and
right.
perfectly American, but in your tax avoidance, you may be doing things to run the business a certain way, and all of a sudden you wake up and realize you want to sell the company and you're trying to maximize your earnings. And so that swing, if you will, that recasted or normalized set of financials is a very critical document, among others, that you would be presenting to prospective buyers. It's important that you work with, you know, an accountant or a business advisor or an investment banker that understands that whole process.
And as Andrew said, and as I was alluding to, as you contemplate selling your business, read a book like Andrew's, Mergers and Acquisitions. Get some help from somebody who understands how this works, and start operating your business so that whenever a potential buyer comes into play, they don't have to do so much work to get your statement recast. It's not that hard for them to see what the opportunity your company can offer.
Exactly right, and just really, you know, do one simple thing that I talk about in the book, and that is go through EOTB analysis, eyes of the buyer. Think about your business as if you were buying it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you want to be focused on? What issues do you need to strengthen up or improve or gaps to fill? These are all issues that can significantly affect valuation, and when you're talking about multiples of 5 or 6, you know, every dollar of earnings that you can produce is an extra $5 or $6 in your pocket.
Right.
Got to think about it that way.
Exactly.
And
Andrew,
all of a sudden,
the light bulb
goes off as to how important these things really are.
I got to wrap it up, but you're going to come back real soon, and we're going to talk some more about this. BeTheTruck.com, Amazon.com, look for Andrew Sherman. You can see all his books there, including Mergers and Acquisitions. Andrew, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.